Welcome to the Faith Church Podcast. On this podcast, Pastor David Crank helps us understand that God's Word is still relevant and has all the wisdom and guidance to help us figure out the crazy ups and downs in life. If you want to hear practical and inspiring biblical teachings, be sure to subscribe so that you can hear the latest message every week. And wherever you're listening from today, we believe God is going to speak to you and bless your life. Here's Pastor David with the message.
Come on, give it up for Jesus this morning in St. Louis and around the world. Wow! Yeah, that's good. Okay. All right. Jesus got a standing ovation today. I like it. All right, you can be seated if you're good looking. If you're ugly, remain standing. We want to pray for you today. Man, St. Louis, thanks for coming today. 30 degrees in St. Louis, which is only 5 degrees colder than this room that we're in right now. 60 in Florida, and people in Park says, oh man, but it's cold. And last week, of course, it snowed there and ruined your perfect attendance for, you know, the new year. But this is going to be a great, great weekend. We're obviously excited. Actually, I'm really stoked about next week, because next week is our grand opening of a brand new Fairview Heights campus. I mean, that's amazing, really, if you think about it. We're planning in the third state my whole life, as you know. It's been close to St. Louis, but there's just something about crossing over that bridge. And a lot of people from Illinois obviously come to our church. You're sitting in many of the campuses today. But tell your friends, tell your neighbors, get on Facebook, get on Instagram. Tell everybody that that's happening next week. And, of course, everybody goes to church next weekend, too, because we do a big celebration for Martin Luther King. Let's give it up for him already a week ahead of time. Incredible. People have been asking about that. I haven't talked about it at all, the slide where we're at and on the giving campaign. Some people are asking about that. And so you guys are rocking this already. Look, you completed a 40,000, a 290, a 265, and a 230 in progress. Where's that 230 at? I think that's the next slide. You guys are well into, back to that 230 if you can. They're back there trying everything they can. Give it up for the people in the back room that just had a heart attack. And 2:30. And so next week we will we'll give an update, because I just got a wire this week. I got a text from a guy. I said, Pastor David. I said, what? He said, I'm going to wire in $100,000. So that'll go up $100,000 for that right there. And again, always like those wires. Come on, somebody, wire me. Look at your neighbor and say, wire me. Tell him, say, I don't even care if you write a check. Cash at me. And it helps a lot. And of course, there's no pressure to ever give in that, but a lot of people that have given, in fact, that one particular person, they had invested, because that's what it is, an investment in the kingdom, and God had given them back a return. So if you want to give to that and invest in that, I promise you it'll be great. If you don't have one of these cards that I have in my hand right now at all the campuses today, you raise your hand and they'll give you one of these. I want you to have one of these, two of these, three of these. I want you to put them in your cars. I want you to put it on your mirror. I want you to put it in your refrigerator, because I know you go there. Come on, somebody. And this is stuff, prayers and declarations that I want you to pray in this new year of 25. But the scripture that we're reading during this series for the next few weeks, we're going to read it together. They'll put it on the screen, but it's on this card. And it says this: but God is able to multiply all grace toward you, that you may always have whatever is sufficient for you in all things, and that you may abound in every good work. In other words, you're not lacking, you're abounding. You're living the good life. You're doing what God wants you to do, which is live exceedingly abundantly above all you can ever ask, think, or imagine, according to the power that works within you. Now, there's a greater one living and abiding on the inside of you, and that's the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
He's in there. And here's the interesting thing about the Holy Spirit. He's not always yelling. In fact, when you're fasting, you'll hear God, I feel like, more clearly than when you're not. Because when your spirit is at its strongest, your flesh is at its weakest. Because how many of y'all got a flesh? Raise your hand if you got a flesh. How many of your flesh thinks about food a lot? How many of y'all, your flesh gets mad a lot? Your flesh says, slap them, slap them. Anybody ever heard this? Come on. Anybody ever heard, text them, say what's on your mind. You know, you're not a doormat. Tell them what needs to be said. Anybody ever heard these things? I only know this because Nicole shares with me what happens in her life. But right now we're on a 21 days of prayer and fasting. And while I was praying and fasting in the 21 days, Monday will be day 7. And it works different ways for different people. I'm not pushing people to fast, but the Bible doesn't say if you fast, it says when you fast. And he says some things come out not but by prayer and fasting. And I'll say this even from a health standpoint. A doctor told me one time, when in doubt, fast it out. Wasn't even a Christian. He just said, when in doubt, fast it out. Because your body just does a whole lot of things when you're fasting. Now, the main thing your brain does while you're fasting is says, when I'm done with this, I'm going to go get me a Whopper. When I'm done with this, can anybody ever say, when I'm done with this meal, oh yeah, okay. So what I typically do, what I'm doing right now is I've done 2 days where I didn't eat anything and then went light and then 2 more days I didn't eat anything. And you do whatever the Lord leads you to do. But here's what I want to encourage you to do this weekend. Get close to God. Draw near to God because you don't have a knockoff Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit, the same one that raised Jesus from the dead is living and abiding on the inside of you. It's not like you went to a factory outlet, scratch and dent department and got your Holy Ghost. Yours is legit, first class on the inside of you. And he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, even to the ends of the earth. So as you're pushing into this time of prayer and fasting, God will start speaking to you. In fact, he told me next year, instead of doing 21 days, you're gonna love this. He said, because there's so many new believers at your church and they're not participating because they think it's too hard, he said, I need you to do 7 days of consecration. So I thought, oh, I like that. That's a word from the Lord, somebody. Come on, somebody. But I'm sure some people still do the 21 days because there is a significance to that. It's when we get that from Daniel in the Bible. He took 21 days and changed his whole lifestyle because he didn't participate in any of the regular meals that the people were eating, and his complexion looked better, his spirit was better. He prayed 3 times during that time. But what I'm saying is God is speaking to you. Now, you've heard me say this before. Listen to me. You ought to write this down. Success in life is simply making more right decisions than wrong decisions. You don't have to make all the decisions right. You just got to make more right ones than wrong ones. Raise your hand if that makes sense to you. By the way, raising your hand was a great decision, okay? So the Holy Spirit inside you knows what you should do. And here's the kicker. You're seated with him, and I want to prove that today. Well, let's go here. Ephesians 2, verse 5. It says, even when we were dead, slain in our own shortcomings, doing whatever the heck we wanted to do, he made us alive together with him in fellowship and union with Christ. He gave us his very life, the same new life which he quickened for himself. And it is by grace. Everybody shout that. It is by grace. Every campus, loud and clear. What is it?
It is by grace.
His favor, his mercy, his undeserved favor that he has delivered you from judgment. The next verse goes on to say, and he raised us up together with him and made us sit down together with him, giving us joint seating with the Father. Now listen, there's a restaurant here and it's owned by a friend of mine. His name is Lee Lipton, and it's Benny's on the Beach. It's phenomenal. I'm not doing it because he needs a commercial. You can't get in. It's 2 and 3 hour wait to get there. But here's the thing. I met him years ago, great Jewish guy who now is really into Jesus, okay? And I went there because it was an incredible restaurant. He had been watching us on television. This is like 7 or 8 years ago. And I met Lee. It was just like a God happening. And because we're very close friends, whenever I want to go there, there is a table in the back for his friends. And so people are waiting in line for 2 and 3 hours, but if Sylvester Stallone comes in there, and he often does, he gets that table. If this person or that person comes in there, Reverend Holy Father from St. Louis, David Crank, come on somebody. When I am off this fast, I'm gonna be showing up. And some friends of mine, because I talk about Benny's or they see it on my Instagram, they'll come on vacation to Florida and people go in and they say, hey, we went there and I waited for 3 hours. Craig Rochelle, anybody ever heard of him? Craig is waiting. And so Craig from Life Church texted me and said, we can't get in. I said, wait a minute. You made the right decision. You hollered at your boy. Come on, somebody. So I said, ring-a-ding-a-ding. What's up, Lee? It's your boy. One of my friends is there, and I need you to make me look like the boss right now. He said, hold on, I got you. So then I said, here's who you're looking for. And I got the two of them and I started talking on the phone and the two of them merged. And now the guy who was going to wait to be seated for 3 hours, but he said, forget it, I'm gonna leave. Now, because he knew the owner, he was escorted to the seats that nobody else could get because of who he knew. Somebody see where I'm going with this right now? I said it's because of who you know. Somebody get a hold of this. If it had not been for Jesus, we would not have access to that. Oh yeah, I'm preaching right now. I can already feel Earth City screaming. I feel Ferguson screaming. Oh yeah, there's a reason why. I gotta calm myself down. Calm down. What wasn't possible for my friend, the access wasn't going to happen because of Lee, the owner, he was seated at these special seats. Now, these aren't just any seats. The Bible said that we were made to sit with him. Check it out again, verse 6. And he raised us up together with him. He did it. We didn't do it of our own merit. And with him, he made us sit down together, giving us joint seating in the heavenly sphere by virtue of being in Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one. He did this that he might clearly demonstrate through the ages to come the immeasurable, limitless, surpassing riches of his. There it is again. Free grace. Everybody shout it. What?
Free grace.
His unmerited favor and his kindness and his goodness of heart towards us in Christ, not in our works, in Christ. For it is by free grace, God's unmerited favor, that you are saved, delivered from judgment, and made partakers in Christ's salvation. It came not through your own striving, but it is the gift of grace. It's the gift. We didn't do anything to get it. We can't do anything to lose it. So it's not like when you get saved, sometimes people do this. You get saved, they do good for a while, and then they become religious, very pious. They don't even talk normal anymore. They don't even pray normal anymore. They were F-bomb droppers. Now they're like, our most gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, the Yeshua, the bright and morning star, the lily of the valley, the Prince of Peace. You're like, you don't even talk like that, Shaquita. That is not you. Just a minute ago, you was yelling at your kids, I'm gonna black your eye. And then now you're acting like, so God is not impressed by us trying to fake to him that we got it together. Because here's what I do know. I don't know a lot of stuff, but I do know that the Lord knows exactly where you are and exactly what you're doing. In fact, I just thought of a funny illustration. Because our house, there's a lot of people come in and out of our house, and we've had a lot of crazy things happen in our house. We have cameras, not in the private areas, but in the interior areas of our house. Nicole is in Miami or somewhere in Fort Lauderdale doing a mastermind today. And this morning when I woke up and I walked through the upstairs to go downstairs to get my coffee, the Ring camera went off in the house and it notified her exactly where I was when I was coming down the stairs. And I hadn't talked to anybody yet, but my phone rang and I thought, I don't want to talk to nobody just yet. I'm going to pretend. I thought I could pretend I'm still sleeping. I did not do it. I'm just saying what I thought. Anybody going to judge? Y'all like, boo, yeah, bad husband. Shut up. I got some dirt on you. I know stuff about you. But thank God I didn't. I answered the phone. When I answered the phone, she said, good morning. And I'm like, yeah, good morning. She said, I knew you were awake because I just saw you walk through the hallway. And I'm like, man, that's weird. I'm walking through the hall. She's watching me. Ding, ding. I'm like in a little, like, in a movie. I'm like in the Truman Show, apparently. So my wife knew exactly where I was. She threw the app. She knows exactly where I'm at right now. She probably knows what I'm saying right now. I bet she's watching online right now. But if the Ring camera can notify exactly where I am and what I'm doing and if my hair is crazy and what I'm wearing and what I'm carrying, God is better than a Ring camera. And so God is watching you all the time, not to get you, but to go, oh, don't do that.
You're going to fall down those stairs. Oh, no, 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 don't do that. He's going to lead you and guide you. And so, and not only does he want you seated at these places so you have authority, he wants you seated in these places so you stop making bad decisions that are taking you through a never-ending cycle of betrayal and hurt and loss and pain. And he wants to break that. So he made us sit with him. He said, you know what? You're going to sit like a good dad. I said, you are going to sit with me. And if you're smart and your father is God, you need to go. Y'all follow me right now? If you're dumb, you're like, I'm going to go over here so I can do what I want to do. And I can get away from him so he can't hear what I'm saying. And I'm going to get over here. Now, you're too far away. So today, on the second Sunday of the new year, you need to go, okay, I'm going to go to the growth track. I'm going to get with some right people. Show me your friends. I'll show you your future. And I'm going to be seated with Jesus in heavenly places. Somebody ought to shout amen to this. Because this is a privilege. Have you ever been at a restaurant and maybe your conversation wasn't that interesting, or the person behind you was just talking really loud and you were kind of more into what they were saying than what they were saying? Raise your hand if you've ever been there. Come on, you liar, raise your hand. You're in church, for God's sake. And if you've been married like me and Nicole a long time, we know everything about each other. We know all our stories. So it's only so interesting. So sometimes I'll go, hey, they just moved over there by Manalapan and blah, 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 blah. She's like, tell me more. Give me the tea. Give me the tea. That's like his third marriage, and that's not his wife. That is his secretary. Well, that's weird. Come on, somebody help me right now. You've done this, right? If you're at the table and the person behind you had four people, there was one guy that wouldn't shut up, and you're like, oh, my God, you're driving me nuts, Richard. Shut up, take a breath. But the interesting thing about being seated at this table is the God of the universe. He's having some interesting conversation. And if you're way over here with the chair, you can't hear him whisper. But the closer you are, not only you can hear him breathe, you know exactly what he wants to do. You know exactly where you should go and exactly what to do. Because direction and correction, I want you to write this down. Direction and correction is everything. I'm a pilot, okay? Flying an airplane. You can't see nothing. You fly out of Palm Beach, Atlanta, PBI. And they might call up, Saratoga, 651 Echo Delta, climb to 8,000, turn left, go to 9,000, clear to 12,000, go to the VOR, Miami Approach, contact Miami Approach at blah, 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 blah. You're up there, you see nothing, but there's somebody on the ground talking to a bunch of other people to make sure you don't run into each other up there. So there is a God. And he can see when you cannot see. And if you trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding, but acknowledge him in all your ways, he will direct your path. And it said, if you draw nigh to God, will you do it? I want to be where you are, dwelling in your presence, feasting at your table. Surrounded by your glory, it's your presence. He's with you. Through, it's even better than this. Come here, Gabe, just jump up here. You're big, strong, you represent God. When I looked out at the crowd today, I thought, this would be what God would look like. Big, he's strong. He's got Latin vibes. Come on, somebody, you understand that? People are always like, you know, is God black or white? You're going to be surprised when you get to heaven and God's like, buenos dias, okay? But it's worse than this. If he's God, and he is, he has said, hey, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So stand up. So where I'm going, God's going before me, okay? This is a really big God. God is so big that I can actually probably hide behind God and you can't even see me, you see God.
So I can be talking smack and got all kinds of stuff going on. And then the devil comes and I go, get him, God. Get him, God. Come on, you talk to God first. What you got to do? You got to get to me. You got to get to him. So you're going to want to be as close to him when the cancer comes. You're going to be as close to him when the setback comes. You want to be as close to him when the trial comes. Somebody ought to shout amen to you. You're seated with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Come on, somebody ought to give him praise today, about 10 seconds. Yeah. It's not about also what you know. It's about who you know and being at the right place at the right time. I was in Peru last year at a church of, you can't even imagine this, picture 25,000 seats and 25,000 people are seated in it. And the pastor is a friend of mine, and he began to tell a story about our country that I didn't even know. We're in Peru. So he's speaking a totally different language. I'm listening to the interpreter, and his wife's actually sitting next to me, and she's telling me everything he said. And he said during the American Civil War, there was a young soldier in the Union Army, and his older brother and his father were killed in battle at Gettysburg. So this young soldier decided, I'm going to go talk to President Abraham Lincoln and see if I can get a military exemption because I need to go back and help my family. And so when he goes in to the front gate, of course, the guard said, you know, you can't go see President Lincoln. He's a busy man. Get out of here. So he leaves, he's kind of depressed. He goes to the park bench and he's sitting there. And while he's sitting there looking kind of depressed, there's a young boy and he's kind of playing out in the front yard, messing around that park in front. I've been there in front of the White House. And while he's messing around, he sees this guy that's kind of depressed. And the little guy walks over and says, what's wrong? And he says, everything that I just told you. And the little boy said, come follow me. And so he started following the little boy, and he goes down this corridor and through these gates, and then all of a sudden he finds himself right up in front of the White House, and then all the security people just wave at the little boy, and he just walks in, and this guy walks in with him, and they walk down the corridors, and then they walk into the White House. He's walking through the hallway, goes into the Oval Office, the doors open, and there sits Abraham Lincoln with his secretary. And Abraham says, hey, Ted, how you doing, son? What do you need? He said, I want you to meet my friend. He tells him the story. And he says, absolutely, we will grant that request. The guy was at the right place at the right time. And this little boy gave him access to his father. It represents Jesus in such a way, doesn't it? That we can't gain access to God. He's a holy God. He's high and lifted up. He said, there's no way we could deserve it, but through Jesus now, we have access to the Father, and we can talk to him anytime we want. And he actually knows what we need. Go ahead, give God praise today. I shouldn't have stopped you. My bad. He knows what we need before we even ask. But then the Bible says, whatever we ask the Father in the name of Jesus, he'll give it to us. So God doesn't see us in our sin. He does not see us in our shortcoming. He sees us through the blood-stained glasses of Jesus. Because I've told you the truth many times. When I really got saved, I mean, I grew up in church, but just because you grew up in church, it's kind of like cats being born in an oven. They're not biscuits, they're cats. So just because I went to church and I knew how to act in church and I knew how to play church didn't mean that I was part of the church. So when I really, really got saved, the devil cried. They had a meeting in hell and said, oh man, we lost a good guy today. Anybody ever had your kids or somebody do sins and you're like, I invented that sin. We're doing this now. Well, we were doing that in the 70s. I remember. Come on, raise your hand if you can remember the 70s. Raise your hand if you're alive. You just don't remember the 70s.
So again, the enemy is always trying to tell us that because of what we have done, we do not deserve that seat. Now, what does seated mean? I've been walking, you've been seated. It just kind of feels good when I sit down for a minute. Take a load off, that feels good. There's something about being seated that shows that you are rested. And so when Jesus died on the cross 2,000 years ago, and he ascended into heaven, it says now, right now, on this Sunday morning in 2025, Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. So technically, Jesus is right over here at the right hand of the Father. And he's seated. Why is he seated? Because his work is done. When my work is done, I like to sit like this. Actually, I like to, no, okay. This means, man, his work is done. Now, if we're seated with him, that means our work is done. I got to do better. And you should try to do better. But the enemy tries to defeat you to say, just forget it because you screwed up. Now, when you mess up, you get up. When you mess up, you get up. You don't stay down. If you go down, you get right back up because there is therefore now no condemnation. I want to slow down because some people tell me I talk too fast. There is therefore no condemnation for those who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the most part, you're pursuing God. You occasionally do wrong, but you're pursuing God. And I know this today because you went to church today. Raise your hand if you're here. Raise your hand if you're here, okay? Tell your neighbor, come on, raise your hand. You're here. You're here. So now the enemy tries to get you to focus on what you are and what you did, and you never, and you always, and this is exactly what you do, and this is your pattern. When you sit here, you just chill. This morning I was riding my bike, getting some exercise, and I went a couple, 3 miles, and it was a beautiful part of the ocean, and I stopped there, and I had a hoodie on because it's 60 degrees. St. Louis is hating on me right now. Oh, my God. If it was 60 today, they would all be not in church because they'd be like, sorry, it's warm today. I was sitting there, and then all of a sudden, a guy said, do you bike here much? And I'm like, what in the world? Because he had my hood on. I couldn't hear him. And there was a guy who came up beside me, and he started to have a conversation. And he's talking about biking, and he came from New York, and I'm hearing his story, and you know, I said, yeah, I ride on this road a lot because I don't want to get hit by a car. He said, speaking of hit by a car, look at this. And so he pulls up his leg and said, this is a rod that ran through when I was riding my bike, and somebody hit me when I was 25 years old, and I had to have brain surgery, and I was in the hospital for 30 days, and he started telling me all these stories. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is a crazy story. I don't even know this guy. And he was also one of those guys where I was nice and I listened to it, felt perfect sure. And then now he's saying, yep, I worked for 40 years and I bought this bicycle, $7,000 bike. Would have never paid $7,000 for a bike, but I worked my butt off. Look, it's gone. It's funny. It's gone. I'm like, dude, I don't even want to talk to anybody. I almost didn't answer the phone to my soulmate. Come on, y'all hear what I'm saying? He kept wanting to talk, I want to talk. He was interesting, but I wasn't interested. And I tell you that, he was nice, smart, cool old guy. But I wasn't that interested. And then eventually I kind of felt bad because I care what people think, even though I don't know him. But I thought, man, hey, you know, I'm trying to wrap this up. Trying to wrap this up. And then he finally wrapped it to where I feel like as a trained professional how to put a bow on a conversation. Y'all follow me right now? And then he turns around and goes, hey, you like fishing? I'm like, dude, we're not going fishing. Okay. Just, I hate fishing. Okay. My point is to say this about the guy. That he wanted conversation. First of all, he needed to go to church. He needs community. I was thinking, you would be a great greeter. People would love to talk to you. And you love to talk to people. But he doesn't know that. But here's why I said that. Is that eventually the conversation stopped. And I think that's the way God is. God actually has more free time than probably you think. I don't want to bother God because I know he's busy. Got a lot of stuff going on. California's on fire, and this is happening, and that's happening. By the way, we're sending money, and we're some of the first responders, and thank God for the people out there that Lord's saving. But I am here to tell you that God wants to talk to you, and he wants to go fishing with you, and he wants to bike with you, and then sometimes we got the hoodie up, and he's like, hey, what are you doing? Whoa, where'd you come from? He's been here the whole time. And here's the kicker. He has so much interest in what you're into, and he knows exactly how to pass this exam. He knows exactly how to get this loan. He's working, living, abiding on the inside of you and directing you. And the most important thing you can do is understand your purpose and your calling. I'm almost done. I want you to go to this scripture with me. Galatians 2:21. Therefore, I do not treat God's gracious gift as something of minor importance and defeat its very purpose. I do not set aside or invalidate or frustrate or nullify the grace, the unmerited favor of God for its justification of righteousness, acquittal from guilt. It comes through observing a ritualistic law. No, no, no. Christ the Messiah at that point would have died groundlessly and of no purpose. It would have been in vain. So what happens when we try to say, I'm going to work, work, work. I'm not going to sit down. I'm not going to just say, God, I thank you, Lord, you've forgiven me. So now I'm going to take the next step. And there is a next step for you. You need to go to Growth Track today. You need to get in that room and find out, okay, what's my next step? How do I join the church? I just don't want to go to church. Say, bless me, help me. It's a New Year's resolution. You know as well as I do, you've done this before. My friends own gyms, okay? And one of my best buddies owns most all of Planet Fitness. He lives here in Florida, owns all of them in St. Louis, okay? And everybody is a sucker, and they go join up, and they give him $14.95 a month. They put it on their credit card, and it's just not quite enough for them to cancel, but by March, they're not going to be there. He collects all that dough. Come on, somebody. And that's awesome. But I don't want you to be that way. Stick with it. Get a plan. Get involved with God. Be seated with the Holy Spirit, and you'll make supernatural progress. But what that scripture was saying is if we think that we're going to help God by going, hey, guess what? I kind of brought my own seat, or I bought this seat, or I could pay for this seat. Like, back to my friend, I just thought of this, Lee. If I called Lee, and he's got a lot of dough, okay? If I called Lee and told him, hey, thanks for getting my friends in, I'm going to give you a $10 gift card to Starbucks for making that happen for me, homie. $10? Then he would think, that joker thinks the value of what I gave him? Okay? The owner of Newsmax was getting ready to get the table, and I bumped him, and you think that $10 got you that? No. Sometimes the best thing you can do if somebody gives you a watch that's worth, say somebody gives you a Rolex. How many of you are cool with that? Raise your hand if you got a Rolex. Look at your neighbor, see if they got one on it, and say, I'll take it. Even if it's fake, I'll take it. But if they gave you and presented you the Rolex, and then you go, hey, all I got is $200, but here you go. That would be offensive to those people because they would think, I did not give you like a super duper deal on this watch. I gave you the watch, and it was far more valuable than the payment in which you're trying to make. Y'all follow me today. So when we go to church, we don't impress God. What we do when we go to church is we get close to God so we can hear him whisper. And he'll tell you, be nice to your wife. You need a date night. She's being mean. No, she's being mean because she's trying to get your attention. She really is saying, I really want you to leave these crazy kids that we made together, and I want you to take me to Applebee's, and we're going to eat our brains out. Forget the fast and the pastor. We're about to get divorced. God will go, hey, it's a good idea. He spoke to me. Make instead of 21 days next year, make it 7 days. It'll be more attainable. Hey, really? God, are you compromising? No. I'm trying to be wise because if I can get them to fast for 7 days and they hear my voice and they accelerate their future, they'll want to fast more. They'll want to seek God more. Come on. They'll want to do better if they feel better. Y'all follow me right now? So you don't have to try to, if I give $1,000, will it impress God? If I give Pastor David a gift card for $50 to Starbucks, will it change my life? No, but I would love for you to do that. We defeat the purpose when we think that we can buy it. This is grace multiplied, and he has multiplied his grace. He said that his grace is sufficient for us even in our weakness. So when you do bad, you're not bad, you just did bad. You're not bad, you did bad. You're being too hard on yourself. You never, look at you, you're gonna lose weight, and didn't eat for 4 days, and you weigh the same amount that you did. Screw it, just, you know where those Girl Scout cookies are hidden, you go get those cookies. No. You do what's right because it's right, and you do what's right long enough, the manifestation of what you want will become a reality in your life.
That's
right. Don't get caught up in all the craziness of works and religion. And again, when I tell you I want you to go to Grow Track or I want you to invite people next weekend to church, it's not to make God love you, it's to change their life. And you know this church. Raise your hand if this church has impacted you, even if it's your first day. Today was a good day. Raise your hand, okay? So friends don't let friends go to hell, and friends don't let friends go through hell. So if you can share the good news, how great it is, how good God is, and how they can be seated with him in heavenly places and change their whole life and change the trajectory of their family's life, you need to do it. And God will tell you that. Just invite them to church. Sometimes, even today, with that guy I told you that I met. When I left the guy, he dropped 4 or 5 F-bombs and different stuff. So I knew he wasn't really like, hey, I think I'll go to church with you today. It was a process. I wasn't at myself. But I regret the fact that I didn't tell him, hey, you know, I got to get going because I got to, you can segue into it. I got to go to church. Oh, you go to church, do you? Yeah. I'm a pastor. Oh my gosh, sorry for all my French. No problem, no big deal. My wife talks like that. We've getting her the New Testament mitts, but they're not working. You get him liking me and scooting him up and then scoot up a chair from him. You should come sometimes. And typically I would do that. But this morning, I wasn't in the mood. I didn't feel like it. I gotta hurry up and go help somebody. God's like, he's right here, Einstein. But I don't know. I was still too self-absorbed, memorizing what I was going to tell you. Abraham Lincoln, this little boy, his name was Tad. Chair, worked the Chad. Lee at the restaurant. Name drop because Stallone goes there all the time. Impresses people. Can bring all that stuff in. Starbucks card. This guy's going, I'm going to hell. Going to hell over here. Hey, going through hell over here. God, be quiet. I'm trying to memorize to help you, for God's sakes. I'll be there in a minute. God's never too busy. God doesn't want us to be busy. He wants us to be fruitful. If you're too busy to go to church, you're too busy. You're too busy to read your Bible, you're too busy. And as I close, I want to read you something. This is my prayer log. It's not a Bible. It looks like a Bible. And here, this time of the year, I kind of go over every year what's the Lord said to me in past years. Isaac, I love you on the camera. You're so good at this. Phenomenal. And this is from January 29th, 2007. Okay, so Earth City, you weren't alive. Sunset Hills, you didn't exist. Weldon, you didn't exist. Ferguson, you didn't exist. None of this existed, okay? I got one church. It's 2007. And when I was doing what I'm doing right now, praying and asking God, what do you want me to do this year? January 29th, the Lord starts speaking to me. And here's what he said. You have entered into a brand new level of ministry that you have never been before. This is my plan to break you forth on the right and to the left. Picture all the campuses you're sitting in right now. They don't exist. Let my glory be seen in all the earth. You, David, have grossly underestimated the plans that I have for this ministry in the years ahead. You see, you don't see as I see. You don't think as I see, like I think. My thoughts can only be apprehended through much prayer, fellowship, and fasting. But the more you and your ministry do this, you will get glimpses of what I'm wanting to do in this place. And it will take anointing, the anointing that I have given you, your style and your flavor for lost people. Oh yes, the dream I've given to some, but they couldn't see it. But you see it. You see that you're coming up from the different side of the stage with your style and your approach. You've struggled with this time and time again, this assignment, because there are no templates for a ministry like you yet. You're a forerunner. You must balance and interpret this spiritually. It's going to take much seeking me. And in the last days, you will need to make corrections in your life, in your ministry's life. Keep it up to par. Keep all the strife out. Keep it clean. And I'll be able to use you like you've never dreamed of. Dream big. Go slow, but run fast. Makes no sense at all. It'll take me to understand that. Pray at least 30 minutes in the spirit before you preach on the weekends. I understand what that means now. Dream big, but go slow and run fast. If you think about the Ferguson campus, or you think about even the one right now that we're doing next weekend, we bought it several years ago. I was pregnant with it 20 years ago when I took my dad out there. Then we bought it, like 3 years ago? Went really fast and then went really slow. And now we're running really fast to get in it. It's a rhythm. Life is a rhythm. And the rhythm this time of the year, you should always come away with some fasting and some prayer, whatever that looks like for you. I don't think fasting is, hey, I'm going to go off Instagram and TikTok for like a week. It's going to like kill me. I think when you don't eat for a couple days, it really makes you behave. Yeah. When your stomach is so loud, you can hear God in there. And it breaks you down and it allows you to hear from God. And when all the campuses that you're sitting in with thousands of seats this morning in St. Louis, I never dreamed even then that you could be in Florida and preach live to St. Louis. How could you do that? Technology. And God knew that my style and all that comedic entertainment that you got, and you guys were laughing on a Sunday morning, and you can't, it's got to be God to do that. It's not funny on a Sunday morning. Even comedies happen on Friday night after you've had a 4-drink minimum. You guys haven't even had communion, for God's sakes. And the Holy Spirit wanted to use that to impact people's lives. And I'm telling you, he's got a plan for you today. And I'm so proud and glad that you came to church today, but I want you to take another step. Number one, I want you to stand up with me. Nobody moving around, but I want you to physically make that move. And I want to pray for you. But I also want you to make another move. If you have not been to Growth Track, I want today to be the day. Today is the day you make that next step. And then I want you to get in groups. Our groups start up. You can go to the front of any of our auditoriums, in the lobbies and talk to people. You can get online. Our Faith Church app is available, and you can sign up for a group. The group can even be in a different state. Doesn't matter. Our church is very, very alive online. In fact, more alive, most of our funding comes from online. The guy who sent $100,000 lives in Indiana. So I'm here to tell you today that God is working in you right now in this sermon. He's working in you. Now the next step is you. It's in your court. So you stood up, that was good. But now I want you to stretch your hands. Everybody close your eyes and stretch your hands, and I want to pray for you. God, I pray that you move in and out every row at Weldon, in and out every row and up and down every aisle at Ferguson, at RPC, God, at Sunset Hills, at Earth City, God, in every single campus that we have today. God, I don't have to be in the room. You're in the room, and you're touching your people. God, I pray that you give them direction and correction that can only come for you. God, I ask you, Lord, that they're going to get a supernatural hunger in this next week. They're going to say, I'm going to listen to worship music. I'm not just going to Netflix binge on stuff. I'm going to cut back some things, and I'm going to hear your voice, God. Because like you spoke to me in 2006 that you were going to do all these things, and I couldn't see it. I didn't even dream it. If you had told me this would happen, I would have said, there's no way I could even put it in my head. But God, you said, I know the plans I have for you, they're for good and not for evil. And you have plans for every single person, whether they're single or married, whether they're adult, whether they've been through rape, molestation, setback, trials. If they're in the greatest trial of their life right now, God, you know exactly what they need. And God, today we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. Come on, let's sing this to God.